Hello and welcome to the With Love podcast, where everything we say, do, and talk about is in love and from a place of love. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm your host, Abby.
And we are so excited to go on this journey with you guys.
So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and let's talk about all things life.
Hello and welcome back to the final episode of season one of With Love, the podcast. And man, am I excited for this topic. Today, we are talking all about sex, dating, and relationships. Ooh, we are going to unpack our experiences, our thoughts on dating as a Christian, sex in our society, and the idea of premarital sex, how to handle singleness, and why we need to thrive, not just survive, in our single season.
Yes, and we are definitely by no means experts on this topic at all.
Yeah, definitely not experts, but we have both thought, processed, come to our own conclusions all about this topic. We've thought long and hard about it. We've come up with our own convictions that we feel the Lord has led us to, I guess, by seeing experienced people around us. And basically, yeah, just coming to our own thoughts, ideas, and topics on this. So to start off, Abby, do you want to talk a little bit maybe about your convictions, your thoughts on convictions and relationships, experiences, what they've taught us, kind of that thing?
Of course. Yeah, so this is just me and Bella talking about our own ideas and how we think about this. It doesn't mean it's 100% what you need to think, or it doesn't mean it's 100% correct. I think it's important to all have established and have your own convictions and know what you want from each relationship in life, any relationship, but especially a dating relationship. Know what you want before you date, because I think if you don't know, firstly, if you don't know who you are or what you stand for, a relationship, I feel like, can be damaging. Yeah. And if you don't know what you value or what you want or how you want your relationship to look, you won't have any vision or direction for the relationship, which means that you will let the relationship just take you wherever it goes, which is not always the best idea. And honestly, I can say that you need to know who you are. You need to be able to love who you are. You need to love yourself, and you need to know what you stand for before you enter a relationship, because relationships can be difficult and messy. And if you don't have those things down, I feel like relationships can really mess with you personally. And I think it's important to know yourself first before you allow yourself to be with someone else. And then I think also with that, it's like another person cannot fulfill you. Only Jesus can. And so you are in Jesus. And if you do not live the way he's set out for you and allow yourself to be what he's made you to be, you'll end up looking for a relationship where that other person can fulfill you. But the thing is, no person on earth can fulfill you, because you were made by God for him and only he can fulfill you. And so, yeah, if you don't have your own set of convictions or values in terms of a relationship, it can be easy to give into things that you will later regret as well and not feel proud of. And I think that's why Jesus gives us instructions. And that's what me and Bella are going to talk a little bit more about as we go.
Yes, I love that. And I think own convictions are so important when it comes to dating, because as we're going to speak about, like, dating's not in the Bible. So we do kind of have to figure out for ourselves what we want dating to look like, and it's going to look different for everyone. And I do think it's very important to know that your worth is in Jesus before you enter a relationship, because I have seen time again a lot of people enter relationships and then they find their worth in that relationship, and it's so hard to break up because they don't know who they are outside of it. And I think it's so important to know that Jesus, your worth is in Jesus, and he's not going to leave you nor forsake you like a human could and possibly would if you find your worth in them. But just a little bit, I guess, about my experience when it comes to dating. As we start off, I have actually never dated anyone. So like we said, we're no experts. I really am no expert, but I have been around a lot of people that have dated, and I've always chosen to wait till I knew the timing and the person was right. And honestly, it hasn't been. So I've never dated anyone, and I'm pretty happy to say that now. And I'm not saying it in an, oh, I'm better than you, I've protected my purity, like all that kind of way, but in a like kind of encouraging, we don't have to date just because we're lonely or just because society tells us to kind of way. And this fact that I've never dated anyone was actually a big insecurity of mine for a long time, because I was like, oh my gosh, Bella, like you just need to date, like so many people date, put yourself out there more, like society tells us today, all your friends in church are dating, all your friends in the world are dating. Like to me, I was like, oh yeah, growing up, like dating's normal. But honestly, it's not as normal as we think it is, because the world has normalized it so much. But like, I have had to come up with my own conviction of, you know what, I'm not going to date just for the sake of dating someone, because I'm choosing to live by God's standards and the standards of, as I claim to be a Christ-loving Jesus freak type person, those are the standards that I want to live by. And so I have decided to not really date, and that's been my main conviction when it comes to dating and society, I guess.
Yeah, and I actually completely understand what Bella said there, because like with the whole feeling insecure and stuff, because I think for me too, I waited a while. I never dated anyone until I was 21, and I had similar ideas to Bella. And I remember people would say things like, oh, you never dated, why, like you should be with guys. But I never wanted to just be with guys. But like when you hear people say that, and when people ask all the time, it does kind of put like doubt in your head, like, oh my gosh, why am I not dating someone? Like, is there something that, yeah, I like, should I be doing this? And so I think it's very normal to feel the pressure and to feel like it's something you should be doing. And yeah. I was the exact same. Like, I never wanted to date around. I only wanted to be with one guy, but I guess it doesn't always go the way we plan or expect, which is also, yeah, so okay. And we will also talk about that. And especially when it comes to something like so personal and so close to you, and maybe like you like to plan things, maybe you don't like to plan things, I don't know, but I feel like life happens in ways you never expect. And yeah.
And I think like you also learn a lot from dating experiences with different people, even if you go in with the intention of it's going to be forever and it doesn't turn out to be. That's the whole point of dating. But I think also in that singleness and in those seasons of, oh my gosh, I'm so single, why am I so single, and people telling you to be in relationships and it's normal to be in relationships, I think we can rest in knowing that it's not forever, and putting Jesus first and showing him, hey, God, I'm going to honor you in every area of my life, which includes the dating area. I'm not going to date whoever shows interest. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to seek your counsel. If someone's not Christian and they're pursuing me, I'm probably not going to go for it, no matter how cute they are, because I know it's probably not going to be the right thing that's going to push me closer to you. And it's easy to get out there and find someone willing. Like, we live in a fallen, lust ridden world, but honestly, protecting your purity is so important. Like, as it says in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Like, and also it says later on, guard your heart above all else, for from the heart everything flows. So like, protect yourself, guard your heart, protect your purity. As hard as it is, I promise you, it is so rewarding and it is important. And I don't think that we as Christians always realize that dating can lead to a lot of heartbreak, a lot of letting down of walls, a lot of opening of the heart, I guess, to things that we probably shouldn't have opened ourselves up to. Like, what you fill yourself with is what comes out. So I think we need to be very careful with that. And we need to get better at protecting ourselves and not always just doing what society says and believes is right and tells us to do. And I think that that's something that we don't always grasp very well when it comes to the whole dating thing. Like, I think we as Christians grasp it well in other areas, but I don't know if dating, especially because like dating apps and all that, is so easy to find someone to fill the void, I guess, that we don't always realize the importance of protecting ourselves in those situations.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like it's become just such a normal and integrated part of society that we almost look past like the damage and the hurt that it can cause. And I think people just think, oh no, it's just part of life, it's what you do, when it doesn't always have to be that way. And I've also noticed, like, with topics like this, I found, I don't know if you would agree, Bella, but like, I found people will say things all the time. Like, people say,
yeah,
find people, like, they don't always think about how the things they say come across. And I think that goes back to like what we mentioned in the beginning, feeling pressure and like insecurity because of what people said. And I don't think people mean it in a mean way or from a bad place. I think often they say things from a good place, they mean well, but they just don't think about how it can make you feel. And I past comments that made me feel not good about waiting or about not dating, or like being, I don't know, I feel like people would make you feel so weird for choosing to live a certain way. And if you have dated, if you have decided not to date all the time or a lot of people, or if you've dated no one before, that's okay, good for you, the right one will come at the right time. But if you have dated a few people, that's also okay, because we know, rather date too many than marry the wrong one. I just want to say there's like no judgment or anything in all the things we're saying right now. It's I think it's just like nice to talk about and get different perspectives.
We're talking about the hard truths, I guess, when it comes to this. But what I was going to say is, when you said rather date too many than marry the wrong one, because like for us, marriage is a commitment forever and it's not something that should be taken lightly. So yeah, rather date too many than date the wrong one. Or yeah, anyway, just a little add on there. But honestly, when it comes to dating as a Christian, this topic is something that, in my opinion, is very hard to navigate, because like I said, there is nothing in the Bible about dating. We have basically had to figure it out ourselves. Like in the Bible, they had arranged marriages, and they're all sent off to marry someone, or parents decided marriage, but basically there was no concept of dating. It was just, you're going to get married and that's that. And so I think that dating obviously looks different for everyone, and it can be very hard to figure out your views and your thoughts on dating when everyone around you has different thoughts and different views on dating.
Yeah, and like ultimately this, I feel like that means that dating is a man-made idea. It's a man-made topic, and the goal is to see, I guess, if you could marry that person and spend forever with them. But in the Bible, this actually didn't happen. So as much as like the Bible gives wisdom and direction on so many things, it does not specifically talk about dating like it does about marriage. So I think it's important to really think about it for yourself and come up with your own beliefs and your own ideas of how you want your dating life to look, and have the conversations with people who you know have similar values and believe similar things to you.
Yeah. That's true. And I think it's great we all have different thoughts, views, ideas, but I do think that our ultimate goal is to date in a God-honoring way. Like if that is your goal, and if that, in my opinion, should be everyone's goals, no matter how they view dating, like ultimate goal is to date in a God-honoring fashion, then like why are all of us leaving these trail of broken hearts behind, like going out with him, her, pursuing him, but we'll never ever date him, like leading him on, but then we'll never like him. And like, why? Because we want to have some fun, get some entertainment in our otherwise, I guess, boring and lonely lives. Like, I know it would be so easy to get on that dating app and find different guys to hang out with and have fun with. But no, dating should be a prerequisite to marriage. Like, the whole point of dating, in my opinion, is to figure out if you want to marry the person you are dating. Like, it's the prerequisite. It is before marriage. It is figuring out if you want to do forever with this person. And I think that we need to get better at not leaving such a long trail of broken hearts behind us because we just want to have fun. I guess if you're doing it like with the intention of marriage and you break up without going into it thinking you're going to break up. But like I'm talking about the relationships where you enter it knowing this is not going to be forever. I'm just a bit bored and this person's quite fun. So I'm going to try see what happens here. It's not. That's, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I think, like, all of that leads back to, like, intentionality. Like, are you in this relationship just to have a relationship, or are you actually being intentional about it? Because it's someone else's time and life that's also involved. It's not just your own. So I think it's important to be intentional and, really value the dating relationship and see it as something that's super important. And I think dating can actually be very special and a very sweet time. And like going back to just talking about dating in church, I think there can be a lot of pressure, especially in church, because people almost expect you to marry the one you date. And obviously it's not always like that. And feeling like people have those expectations of you can be challenging to navigate. And then I also think like this pressure can come in that environment because maybe you feel like more people know about your relationship and then they want to get involved. But that I think that's just what comes with being in a church community. Like in your group of friends, like people will know, they'll say things, it's how it is. But on the other side of that, I actually think like that pressure can also be the biggest blessing, because it allows you to see how the other person, how the person you're dating gets along with others. You see them in environments with a lot of people, in environments that can be a bit pressurizing. And then your friends also get to see the two of you together, and they can see the fruit that your relationship produces or the fruit that it doesn't produce. Yeah. And I think it can actually be the best help and support in your relationship. And as much as it comes with struggles, it also comes with very good things.
Yeah, true. And I think dating in church is honestly a whole different ball game to just dating like in the world, I guess. But people say things in church. People tell you about other people in like the name of doing good or whatever you want to phrase it as. But like people tell me things about my guy friends and they don't even know them. They don't even know like majority of the story. They've just picked up little bits here and there. And like, oh my gosh, yeah, I saw your friends with this person. Did you know, blah, blah. I'm like, stop. I don't want to hear. Like, I don't actually care. And also like in church, it's weird when it comes to guy friends, because it's almost like you can't have guy friends. Like if you're seeing with a guy, your people think you're dating. Like as soon as you start hanging out or like anything kind of like that with a guy. And I know you need to be careful when it comes to guy-girl relationships. I'm very aware of that. But like everyone starts asking everyone but you about the relationship and starts asking if you're together, if you're just friends, like, but no one comes and talks to you about it. And it's such a funny concept to me, because I'm like, no, we like, I met him last week. We're just friends. Like we sat in a church once. It doesn't mean we're dating. But even one time I was with a friend when I was in America, and he used to give me rides because I didn't have a car there. And so like we were riding into church together a lot, and someone literally asked him, oh, like, are you guys seeing each other? Like, what's the deal there? Just because he was giving me a ride, because he like lived down the road from me and he was best friends with one of my really good guy friends. And like, it's just such a funny concept, because as soon as you're seen out with someone, not even on a date, just in the same vicinity as them, it's like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Like, tell me all about it.
Yeah,
it's like nothing's going on. There's nothing to tell you.
Yep. And I think like we can all start to change that maybe one day. It would be nice. Because it is like that's like you have one conversation and next thing people make jokes about you getting married and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know this guy. And I found that actually it did get to a point where it was like a little bit much for me a few years ago. But then I just kind of ignored it, and eventually people stopped. If you just laugh at them and tell them to like stop, I feel like eventually they'll get the picture, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also sometimes it can put pressure on like every single person you meet of the opposite sex. It's like, oh my gosh, is this my future husband? We're having a conversation, we're hitting it off. And it's like, no, it's literally just a person. Form a relationship first, like friendship. But anyway, I think if you do date someone, even in church, out of church, whatever, like, and it doesn't work out, it is okay. It obviously wasn't meant to be. Like, there's a reason you went through that. And I think maybe you should try looking at what you learned from it. Not necessarily like, oh, I've wasted time. Oh, I've wasted years with this person. Like, no, you didn't. You learned so much from it, and it was a good experience. And there's a reason that you've gone through that. And I'm sorry it didn't work out. Like, that is painful. I get it. But at the same time, like, think of what you learned through it all. And I think like we put so much pressure in dating, in the dating process, that people seldom like end up making it to the deep connection part of relationships, because they're so scared of making the wrong choice or messing up and not ending up with this person, because they're so scared like, oh, I have to be with this person I date, I have to end up with who I date. But it's not always like that. And my whole thoughts on the goal of dating, I guess, should be to make each other better people. And if it doesn't work out, hey, at least you help make someone better for their future spouse and for their future partner. And also, like, I just want to say, if all he wants, like, there's this joke that used to be said, okay, this is a bit of a lighter note to what I was just saying, but there's this joke that used to be said in our youth ministry by our pastor, shout out to Tyron and Reese. But they used to say, if all he wants is like your breast, legs and thighs, like send him to KFC, which is hilarious. Like, yeah, send him to KFC, whatever. But like, it should be more about the deep connection that you're forming than it should be about what you look like and how you present yourself and your body and the sexual desires and all that kind of thing, which we're going to get into now. But yeah, I just thought that was really funny. So girls, if all he wants is your breast, legs and thighs, send him to KFC.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Bella. And,
anyway, I don't know.
Where do we go from there? But, yeah, I think, like, even with that, like, that's why convictions are so important, because you need to know what type of relationship you want to be in and what you value in a relationship. And if it's something that you don't feel right about, or you feel like it doesn't align with what you stand for, then get out of it. And yeah. I feel like if someone is making a compromise on your core values or on things that you don't agree with, or even things you don't want to do, like, get out. That is really a red flag, because that's not the right person for you. The right one will want the same things as you. They will respect you and your convictions, and they will not lead you to compromise on anything, but will actually, I believe, push you towards Jesus.
Yeah.
If they are right for you, not away from what Jesus has for you. And then I guess this also links to sex and dating, etc. Bella, I feel like you will have good things to say about this one.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on sex in our society, and it is a big topic. And
she has a lot of thoughts. Tell
guys,
us your thoughts.
I'm going to reiterate this throughout what I say, but guys, I am by no means a sex expert. I'm literally a virgin. I'm not married. I don't know everything, but I have literally listened and to so many different podcasts. I've researched so many things. I literally did an oral at school once on like the bad effects of pornography, which was hilarious in such a secular high school. But like, this is something that I feel very strongly about and I'm very convicted about. But basically, we live in a highly sexualized culture and society. Like, we turn on Netflix and there is soft porn, maybe even like worse, full-blown porn at times. It's available at our fingertips. Like, Pornhub is on our phone. It has over 3.6 billion users monthly. Like, Pornhub alone, that's one site. Think of all the other sites. Like, it is everywhere. We are constantly bombarded with sex, sexual thoughts, lust. And essentially, we have taken the concept of sex out of the bedroom and put it in the hands of multi-million dollar companies and said, hey, entertain me with this thing. I want some free entertainment, or I want to pay for entertainment. I don't know if you pay for it or it's free. But essentially, we've taken out the concept of private bedroom sex and given it to a bunch of rich people. And I think from this, the culture of porn has completely perverted people and our society and even Christians. And it's often done without us realizing it. And it is, in my opinion, the enemy's number one way to take us out and to take out people, to take out relationships, to ruin marriages. And the Bible speaks all about lust. Like, it literally says throughout the whole thing, lust will pervert us, like flesh desires, all that kind of thing. And it is essentially what leads to the watching of porn and sexual impurity, which is lust. And in 1 John, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world has perverted us. The Lord gave us sexual desires for a reason. It literally says in the first book in Genesis, go forth and multiply. Like, he tells us, have sex, like, go get at it, have fun, like, do what you want. Like, there's a reason where we enjoy it and it's pleasurable. Like, and the enemy looked at that and went, hey, you know what, I can imitate that, I can use that for my advantage, I can use it to ruin things that the Lord blesses. Like, let's create this kind of fast food satisfaction out of their desires and make them feel shameful and alone and empty and broken. And let's fill them with the idea that what they desire will never be achieved, so they may as well continue watching things that will achieve their desire. Like, it is absolutely ridiculous to me, the amount of porn and sex at our fingertips because of the enemy. Anyway, that's my rant number one over.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, firstly, it's important to understand that God designed sex. Like Bella said, yeah. He made it. And, like, honestly, like, really think about it. Having a baby, like, making a human, how else could we have done that if it wasn't for God? Like, if that's not miraculous. Yeah. And so I feel like that alone just shows that sex was designed by God and for a reason and for marriage. And the Bible literally says, like, sex is for marriage. And like Bella says, nowhere does God say, like, he doesn't say don't have sex or sex is bad. He just says have it in the covenant of marriage. Yeah. And this is not to punish you or like limit or make things difficult for anyone. It's actually to protect you and to make life better and easier and more freeing because of everything that is attached to sex. And like, again, we'll talk about that later. But I think obviously sex is everywhere. It's accessible and it's ultimately not valued the way it was designed to be. And I think the fact that it is so accessible and almost thrown at us in a way, like you said, it's on Netflix, TV shows, even in music lyrics, etc. Yeah. It's like we've lost all respect for what sex actually is, and we don't see the value or importance of it. And it's actually like sacred and special, designed by God. And yeah, we'll speak more about that now.
Yeah. And I think online dating apps, they really don't help this whole sex is designed for marriage argument at all, because we essentially have unlimited access to sexual partners through our phone, like Hinge, Raya, Tinder, like Bumble. Like there are so many different things we could use to find sexual partners. And I listened to this podcast by The Porch once, and they were speaking about sex and pornography and everything. And they said one line that really stuck with me is, we live in a world of psychosexual obesity, which basically is like fast food. We eat and we eat because it's tasty and it's food and we think it's filling, but then it leads to obesity and overindulgence and we end up at unhealthy levels. And it's kind of like, I guess our society has done the same thing, but with sex. And instead of it being fast food, it's sex. And that's what fills us and leaves us empty at the end and fills us up so much that we become obese from it. Not literally, but like figuratively, you know what I'm saying? Like it's an unhealthy kind of level that it leads us to. And it also creates the idea that sex is quick and easy and we just have it because we need to fill ourselves with something. And I think it's very hard to escape the idea of sex. Like I open TikTok and it's these girls on podcasts speaking about sex and sexual positions and sex stories. And I'm like, oh my gosh, stop. I don't want to hear, like, I don't need to hear that. It's on TVs. It's on interviews with celebrities that are apparently meant to be endorsing different things. Like the idea of sex in our world is inescapable. And honestly, I think that the devil loves that. And Jesus is trying to say, hey, no, over here, look at me. I'm over here. Like, it is created as an act of love. And something that I have noticed in the world, being like both in secular environments and Christian environments, is the term making love. People say that. And they also say like effing, like the F word, when they're referring to sex. And I guess the F word is when it's a quickie, or like you just need to find someone to like fulfill whatever need or horniness or lustful desires you have. And making love is when it's created to be beautiful. And I think that a lot of us are looking for this making love thing, but we settle for the quick, bad word because we live in this world that tells us to and tells us that it's fine. But we want it to be beautiful. We want it to be an act of love because we settle for all these things that we shouldn't be settling for and these lustful passions that we think we can't control. But in the Bible, it says one of the fruit of the spirits is self-control. So practicing self-control is something that honors God, and it's showing, hey, you're in my life. I want to live like you. I want to live for you. I want your fruit to be evident in how I live. But that's really special when we're able to say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to choose self-control in these situations. I know it's not easy. Everyone has lustful desires. I get it. But choosing to say, hey, I want your fruit to be evident in my life, I think is so special. And also, I just want to add that this podcast also mentioned that this line, like, modest is hottest. That's actually not true. They said modest is not hottest, but it is better. Like modesty is never hot. Like obviously letting it all hang out there, people are gonna be like, oh my gosh, you look so hot, huh? Like, so I just also want to add to that, don't allow yourself to be the stumbling block, as it says in the Bible. And I know there are a lot of memes about that line, and it's like, oh, I can't wear this, I can't do this, like, but no, it's kind of just saying, hey, I'm gonna respect myself, and I'm gonna respect Jesus, and I'm gonna respect how I present myself to the world. And I think dressing provocatively is not the only way to get a man's attention. In fact, it's the only way to get the wrong kind of man's attention. And so be careful, because like I said earlier, the whole KFC joke, like honestly, if that's the kind of man you're attracting, then he's not going to be for marriage. And if you're dating with the idea of marriage in mind and as a prerequisite to marriage, then you shouldn't be trying to attract him with how good your body is, or how big your boobs are or butt is, or guys, I don't know what you like, but muscles, buffness, I guess. But anyway, the point is, modesty is not hottest, but it is definitely better. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is so good. Like, that's actually hilarious. But I think, like, modest can be hottest, maybe not by the world standards, but I think because it's different and we're ultimately called to live different, we need to set different standards to what the world says is okay. So I think modest maybe is not hottest. It's definitely better, but I think we can change it and make it so modest is hottest. And yeah, I think like what I found also is that a lot of people think that living this way, following Jesus, not dating around, not having sex with whoever you want, not living whatever way pleases yourself, means that they lose their freedom. But I've actually found that the opposite to be true. I've really found and discovered for myself personally that following Jesus and doing what he says actually leads to true freedom, because it means we live the way we were designed for. And just personally, like, I think that I've noticed that what Jesus says in the directions he tells us to live by and what it says in the Bible prevent us from doing things or acting in a way that we will later kind of regret or not feel good about, or things that can lead to shame and guilt. He doesn't put it there to like limit us and make us feel like, oh, we have rules that we can and can't do, but he actually puts it there and tells us how to live to give us true freedom, to help us be secure in who we are and who we were designed to be. And yeah, I think it's important to know, like, I'm not saying this in any way, like, if you feel shame or guilt or regret, like, I know that can be really difficult, but Jesus also takes all of that away, and you don't have to feel bad about any of that. But yeah, I also know that the way he's told us to live is not a restriction on our lives. It's actually him pointing us to true freedom. And I feel like in the moment it can be difficult, and maybe you feel like, oh my gosh, I have no freedom, I can't do whatever I want, God said I have to live this way and whatever. But I feel like you'll get to a point where you'll be able to look back and be like, oh my gosh, if I hadn't chosen to live that way, I feel like there could have been so many things that I wouldn't be happy with. And you'll end up feeling free because you chose to put God first.
Yeah. And I think also, like, something for me that a lot of people used to say to me, I guess, growing up, that sometimes made it hard is like, oh, how are you, like, waiting for marriage? They're like, oh, how are you going to know if it's a good sex partner? Like, how are you going to know if the sex is good? All that kind of thing. Which, obviously, like I mentioned, I'm a virgin. Like, I don't know if the sex is going to be good or anything like that. I'm not trying to give out any advice. But I also think that the idea that you need to try before you buy, when it comes to sex, is ridiculous. And it is the biggest lie I have ever heard. Like, I want to rip my hair out when I hear this, because I used to think about it and go, oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Oh my gosh, I'm probably going to have sex with the person before, like, all that kind of thing. But literally, like, I've come to the realization that so many people, like, literally billions, could bring you to your climax and, like, make you feel good when having sex. So if the fact that he made you climax this fast or made you feel this good, like, is what you're basing your life decisions on, that is absolutely ridiculous. Like, you have your whole life to figure sex out when you marry someone. I know Abby and I are both virgins, but, like, we don't have all the answers. Like, we do speak to married couples about these kind of things. We've been in marriage talks at church. Like, we've been in different situations. And time and again, I hear that you learn as you go. You learn as you commit to each other. Like, your marriage will be blessed the more you commit and put each other, I guess, first in the relationship, and, like, not sex first. Like, and also, I think your sex drive will not be the same forever. Like, when you're kids, you obviously have a bigger sex drive. So you think, like, oh my gosh, sex is so important. It's such a big part of the marriage. But, like, it's not. It's not the biggest part of your marriage. Like, sex is literally 0.0987% of your marriage. Like, it is hard. It is a lot of miles and valleys and situations. Like, imagine going through infertility. Imagine your dad dying, your mom dying. Like, it's not all about sex. It's about doing life with someone. And I think the whole concept of trying before you buy, I guess, is ridiculous, because you do not need to try and see how good the sex is before you commit to forever with someone, because sex is not forever part of the 99% of your marriage. It is the tiny little bit. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think, like, the world puts so much emphasis on sex. It doesn't care about anything else that has to do with a relationship. And, like, sex is not the only part of a relationship. Like, you'll literally be living with someone. You have to put up with their attitudes and their feelings and their emotions every day. And it can be difficult. And I feel like so much of it is focused on sex, but actually there's so much more to a relationship than any of that.
Yeah, that's very true. And I also think, like, if we look at it from a biblical perspective, real authentic sex is within a marriage. Like it says in Genesis, Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed. And that to me is, like, real and authentic. Like, you're standing there saying, I know all about you and I'm not going anywhere. We are going to walk together forever and every day. And I think that's kind of what makes sex so special. And people say, oh, it needs to be special my first time. And then after that, whatever. Like, no, it needs to be special every time. Like, commit to the person that you're going to marry and have sex with them forever. Like, I'm a virgin. I know, I don't know what it's like within marriage. But in my opinion, the most real and authentic sex is within the confines and the covenant of marriage. And you can have sex whenever with whoever. Like, hookup culture is so quick, it is all around us, but it is not authentic and it is not the God honoring way that it was created or intended for. And also, I just want to say, like, all that aside, like, if you have struggled, if you have fallen, if you've had sex with your partner, with a random, with whoever, like, it's okay. It is normal to fall short, as it says in Romans 3, like, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, like, none of us are exempt from it. Sin is sin. Like, sexual sin, no matter what, like, it is all sin. And I think also we need to understand that he has bore all that sin for us on the cross. Like it says in Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Like, by his wounds, we have been healed. So by his wounds, by the nails in his hand, the crown of thorns, the spear in his side, like, we are saved and our sin is no more because of him. And we are forgiven wholly and completely, no matter what sexual impurity we have gone through or are going through, even if we're struggling now. I also want to say, on top of that, if you're struggling with sexual desires and lust and masturbation now, can I tell you, like, you are not alone. In fact, anyone who tells you they aren't struggling is 150% lying to you. We have all been through it. We all go through it. Like, we all have an innate sexual desire for a reason. And we need to get into communities so we can be open with each other about it and talk about our struggles and how to handle them. Because I think the reason so many of us fall short is that we think we're fighting it alone and we don't know anyone else that's struggling with it. So we think there's something wrong with us. And I recently listened to a podcast where these two girls were speaking about women and masturbation, which honestly is a topic that is not spoken about enough, especially in Christian culture. And they were kind of telling this story about two girls that were speaking to them after they'd done a panel on sexual purity and masturbation, all that kind of thing. And these two girls were best friends and they were talking about their struggles and how they couldn't open up to their best friends about it. But both of them were best friends talking to these mentors and these leaders about it, but they were unable to talk to each other about it. And I think that if we're all able to be a bit more open and a bit more raw about it, we could heal together. And you can't heal in hiding. Like, you're going to go back to things. You're going to do things. It's going to feel like no one knows. It's fine. Like, whatever. But honestly, like, heal together and go through it together, because I promise you, you are not alone. Yeah, when the desires come, I think also another thing is that's important is, like, to notice when your desires, or I guess your sexual thoughts or desires, increase a little bit. When people, I guess, say they're watching a show late at night or something like that, or lots of stress, like, that's kind of when they start struggling with things. And I think that we need to get better at noticing when it happens. I mean, like, okay, I know what I need to do now. I'm not going to give into it. I'm going to phone a friend. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to do something that takes my mind off it, because these desires scientifically only last for about 20 minutes or so until it passes. And I think that that's something that we really need to notice, because that'll help us, I guess, deal with things that lust and temptations and things that are normal in our world. And I think we are very quick to judge and condemn people when it comes to sexual sin, but when there's other sin, we're kind of like, oh yeah, no, like, it's fine, they're struggling, but they'll get through it, they're fine. Like, no, sexual or not, like, sin is sin, and we have to embrace people and embrace the way they open up to us, like, about anything, the same way. And in Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens so you will fulfill the law of Christ. Like, it's law to struggle with each other. It's law to share your burdens. It's law to, like, share and open up and be able to bear it with each other. And also in Romans 8, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're struggling, open up to someone. Don't condemn each other. Like, it's law. We're able to get through it together as one. And if you are struggling, just know that shame and condemnation are not from Jesus. It is not Christ-like, and it is just broken people that are possibly making you feel like that. So I think let's just do better at loving each other through our sin, and not just loving each other when our sin is hidden and in a dark room or in our search history. Let's just be better at being open and loving each other and carrying each other's burdens together.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you can help each other through things and really like carry each other's burden, not let anyone feel like ashamed or that they have to do it on their own, is really special. And then, okay, moving on to something a little bit lighter. Let's talk about being single and waiting for the one and maybe what it's like to not be in a relationship.
Yes.
So I feel like me and Bella are actually very different when it comes to this. I love doing things alone. Like, genuinely, I love alone time. I love just being for myself. I love quiet times. I'm happy to just do my own thing. I've never been someone who was like, oh my gosh, I need a relationship, or I don't like being single. I've always enjoyed it, and I was never really fazed about a relationship. I've been very happy by myself. I think it's just who I am. I know it's very random, but I think, like, I know for Bella, it hasn't always been like this.
Yeah, true. Well, yeah, so for me, I guess singleness, I think it used to be a big struggle for me because I think I'd kind of wish it away. I was very insecure about it when people would bring up like past relationships or like their first kiss stories or like their first date stories. I was always kind of like, oh my gosh, that's not me. That's okay. I feel a bit uncomfortable. Like, so I kind of wished it away because I was quite insecure about it. And when I turned 16, I remember just before I turned 16, I like went into school and I was like, you know what, guys? So my friends were like, you know what, guys? I'm going to kiss someone this weekend because I've never been kissed and I don't want to be 16 and have never kissed anyone. And I obviously didn't kiss anyone because the Lord protected me. But I was like so insecure about it. I was like, I cannot be 16 and never been kissed. Like, people make movies on that. It is ridiculous. But honestly, I felt bad about my singleness because I think also maybe because I'm an extrovert and I felt like, oh my gosh, like I'm friends with all these guys. Why are none of them dating me? But I think like this year, I genuinely think that this year I had a massive God revelation, I guess, on singleness. And I think I was kind of in a phase of letting it pass me by and thinking I couldn't really do anything great, or I couldn't really like scare the enemy off if I was lonely and I was single and all those kind of things. But and I used to think like, I'm not designed for the single life. Like, God, come on, man, you know, you got me, come on. But I was like, no, hang on a minute. Like, I have so much inside of me as an individual. Like, I can't hide it just because I'm waiting for someone to show up and draw it out of me and propel me forward into this great, mighty woman of God. Like, I'm great because I have Jesus inside of me propelling me forward as a mighty woman of God. Like, our single season should not suck. It should not be just waiting around. Like, it's all about what we do in the wait. And there is a wait, like W-E-I-G-H-T, to the weight, W-A-I-T. Like, I've seen that phrase a lot around recently, and I'm like, that's actually so true. Like, we have to be so careful to not just wish away our waiting season. It shouldn't just be endured. Like, there's so much freedom and so much fun in being single and enjoying this season, and we can learn about God and draw closer to Him, and He gives us strength in this season, and He's going to teach us things that we're going to take into our future and be able to build on our relationship with Him in this season of singleness, because we'll never be more free and able to build with Him and be with Him than we are right now, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And like, for me, I don't even think I view it as like a waiting. Like, I feel like if you're content in where you are and it's nowhere, you know, it's where you're meant to be right now, like, it won't be a sense of waiting. And yeah, as much as like, you obviously want to get married, you want to be with someone, I don't think like it's always about waiting for what's to come. I think it's about enjoying where you are and being content in what you're doing right now. And like, think about it, once you're married or in a relationship, then you're probably going to be in one for the majority of your life after that. And maybe you'll have like shorter seasons if you break up or you're single or whatever, but there won't be like much time where you're truly single for a while. So I think you should just enjoy being single, be yourself, like, discover who you are, fall in love with life, take yourself on adventures. I think don't put pressure on it like you're waiting for something to happen. I think you should actually just enjoy life as it is right now.
Yeah, and I think every season of life is a gift, and singleness is definitely just a season. Like most things in life, it is going to come and it is going to go. I mean, unless the Lord is calling you to singleness, which, actually, funny story about that. I used to be so scared of like, oh my gosh, is the Lord calling me to singleness? Like, I don't want that. And I used to talk to my mom about it. It's like, what if I meant to just be single forever? And I'm like, Bella, you're literally 18. Like, get over it. But I think He gives us desires and wants and dreams and all those kinds of things for a reason. And I think some people have never dreamed of being married, and some people write letters to their husbands, and some people pray over their future spouse, like, and have multiple Pinterest boards about their wedding. Like, everyone's built different and made different and designed different for a reason. And I think time and again, I see girls pouncing on every cute Christian guy they see and not realizing that there is a weight to being single. And that weight is not to just constantly wait for someone to show up and be like, oh my gosh, you cute Christian girls. Like, as funny and fun, I guess, as that is, like, in all seriousness, we shouldn't be like that. Like, there is a weighty responsibility to giving your all to God and being like, hey, I'm going to lay down my life, my relationships, and whatever position and place you want to put me in, I'm going to follow that. And I'm going to honor you in every season, in the singleness and in the marriage and in the dating and in the just hanging out phase, I guess. But, like, yeah, anyway, I think it's really important to know it's just a season, and there is a weighty responsibility to waiting, as a lot of girls like to call it, their waiting season. Like, it's more than a waiting season. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love how you said, like, every story is different. I fully agree with it. And I think it's important also to, like, not compare yourself with what's happening to those around you. Don't compare the season they're in with the season you're in, because that can be very easy to do, especially if all your friends may be dating or getting into relationships, or even if all your friends are getting married. Embrace where you are. Don't compare what's going on for you with what's going on for them. Life happens differently to each of us. There's a different plan for every single one of us. Your time for a relationship will come. And I just think it can be super easy, especially when, like, it's something you want as well, and you see it almost happen for every other person around you, to compare and feel like you're missing out can be a big thing. But you're not missing out, because at the right time, you will be in the right relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And being single is so fun. Like, honestly, you can be friends with everyone. You can spend time getting to know people, getting to know yourself. Like, you can figure out your values before you're in a relationship, so that you don't compromise when the relationship comes. And as it says in Matthew 6:33, like, seek first his kingdom and all else will be added unto you. If you are in that wait season, just cling to that. I often do at times when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so single. Which now I'm like, I don't have that thought as much, but I used to, and I was like, oh my gosh, just seek first his kingdom, Bella, seek first his kingdom. But honestly, cling to that, like, seek him, build great friends, love Jesus, find who you are, find what you love. So many of us wish this season away before we even realize the power of this season. And, like, let's, as Christians, show the world healthy singleness. Like, we don't have to date to have fun. Life is great. Life is fun. We can thrive as single, God-loving, God-fearing individuals without having to be in a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, if I can say one more thing just quickly about being single, I think focus on your relationship with Jesus. I know Bella touched on this earlier, but it honestly is only you in that season. Like, if you're single, it's literally only you. Yeah. So make it a time where it's you and Jesus. Like, you're never going to get this time back. And it can actually be such a special time, because you can choose what you want to do with your time. You don't necessarily have the responsibility of being with anyone. And, like, obviously you still have friends and family and people you see, but not in, like, the dating sense where you need to be spending time with someone, like, a lot, and focusing on your relationship with them. So use this time to focus on your relationship with Jesus and genuinely make it all about you and him. This is time you will never get back. So I think if you use it in, like, a fulfilling way, it can actually be so special. And I really feel like giving your time to Jesus, only the sweetest of things can come. And I believe it is out of that you will also begin to discover who God has made you to be and how he has created you. And I know he will strengthen your identity and your security in him. And then I also feel like this will ultimately set you up to be the best version of yourself for a relationship, because you'll go into a relationship, when it so happens, feeling secure, knowing who you are in God. And you'll also know what he wants for you and what he wants for your life. And you'll be able to take that into the relationship, which I think will be helpful, because it will set your relationship up for a win and it will put it on a good path. And you'll know what it means to really know Jesus and honor him in everything you do.
Yeah, exactly. And to close out, like, almost something fun I think we could do before, I guess, we draw little three key takeaways, is maybe we could do like three or so of our values when it comes to dating, or like what we look for in a person, I guess. Not like, oh, you guys should all be looking for this, but just an example of people who are single, or people in possibly toxic situations or situationships, to get an idea of like what we've thought about, what we've mulled over, what we've talked to the world about, included about dating, and almost things where we've drawn the line and said, hey, I'm not going to waver in this. I'm going to look for someone with these values. I'm going to look for a relationship that looks like this kind of thing. Just in a little example, because I remember once I was in a message on singleness and they spoke all about how it's really important to have your values and write them down before. So just a few little values, I guess, that we have.
Yeah, exactly. I love what Bella said, like, write it down. I quickly, just before we say our top three, I just want to say, like, it's so important to know what your non-negotiables are before you go into a relationship, and like your top values, like literally write them down. And when you are in a relationship, have the person you're dating do the same thing. If they haven't, like, write down and tell each other what you're not going to be able to negotiate on. Tell each other what you never want to compromise on. Let each other know what's important to you, and understand what's important to the other person. For example, okay, this is just one example, like waiting to have sex when you're married. So I believe if you are maybe in a relationship and you're wanting to wait for marriage and the person you're with is not, then I think that's probably something you need to talk about, because I know that the right person will wait and they'll value the same things as you, and it won't be like a situation where they're doing this because it's what you want. It will actually be both of you wanting the same thing. They'll want the same thing as you. They'll see the value of it as well, and it will be something that you want together. And I think that's honestly just one thing that's too big to compromise on at any point. And then the second example would be following Jesus and having faith. If the person you're with is not on board or does not really want to follow Jesus, then and if that's something you desire, then I think that's also too big of a thing to compromise on. And I know it can be really hard, and it's difficult because obviously not everyone is a Christian, not everyone does follow Jesus, but I feel like if you put God first and you understand that, like, that's such a crucial part of your life, and honestly even in a relationship, like, putting Jesus there will make it 100 times better. I feel like you have something to lean on when life is not easy, and life really is not always easy. So I think if that's something that's important to you, like, hold on to it and really chase after that. And I know Jesus will bring the right person at the right time. And I also promise, like, if you honor God in every single area of your life, whether it be in your singleness, in your dating, in your day-to-day activities, it will set your life up on the most special path. But so then should I say, like, the three things I value?
Well, those are not the three things you value.
No, that was just like a little side.
Okay, well, maybe I'll say my three things and then you can say your three things, and then we'll go into our takeaways.
Yeah, but I feel like we're going to have the same three things, but that's good.
That's fine. Like, it doesn't matter.
That was just me saying about, like, non-negotiables and whatever, because I think
Those are good. I feel like, anyway, if we have the same values, you can just say. But anyway, I love that. I really do. Mine are more like the values. So yours were just things you're not going to compromise on. Mine were more like the values that I've written down and said, hey, like, these are the things that I'm not going to change no matter who you are. And I have always said these three things. Like, whenever someone asks me, oh, what are you looking for? I'm like, I guess these three things. And it's always been like, number one, loves Jesus. Number two, loves his church, like Jesus, capital H, like Jesus's church, like the bride of Christ. I guess also the church he attends, like, is planted in church, loves his church, loves Jesus. And then lastly is loves me and my family. And kind of a little tidbit about it on is loves to have fun because with me and my family, because I feel like that is really important to me. And my family is really important to me, and Jesus is important to me, and church is important to me. So I've gone, hey, those are my top three. I've got a list of a few more, like, loves to celebrate things, like, loves to make me laugh, like, I don't know, like, little things like that. But I guess these three are my, like, hey, these have to happen. Otherwise, it's, like, not negotiable. And I know looks are an important part. Like, attraction is important. Obviously, you want there to be some sort of physical chemistry when it comes to looks. Like, you want to be like, oh, my gosh, they're so good looking. I love them. But also, I want to say, like, looks will fade. And so if you are basing someone and your entire life with someone on their looks, like, I think that you need to maybe get a bit deeper and get a bit of a different revelation, because looks are going to come and go. Like, look, people have glow ups and glow downs all the time. Like, yep. You're not this, you don't look the same at 20 as you do at 50. So I think don't only base it off of looks. Obviously you want to be attracted to them. Like, I know that, but it is not the most important. Choose someone for who they are, not for what they look like. And also look for someone who sharpens you. Like, as it says in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. So look for someone who's going to make you better. Like, make that your goal in the relationship. But anyway, Abby, do you want to add three values, or were those your three as well? I know we've got six ones.
Yeah, I feel like we have the top three are definitely the same. Like, I also, someone who loves Jesus, I feel like is just really important. Loves church and, like, just sees the value of church and going to church. And then can have fun. Yeah,
so the same. But I think, like, it's okay to have the same, because it's three very important things. It's not just like random things. It's like Jesus, church, and me, like, and fun. Yeah. Like, those are important. But anyway, three key takeaways. Okay, do you want me to go first and then you can go? I know I just went, but do you want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah, you
go one first. Okay, three key takeaways, last one for this season. Okay.
Wow.
One, make the goal of dating to make each other better. Iron sharpens iron. It'll help take the pressure off. It'll help you see if it is the right thing or not. You can ask yourself, is this person making me better? Am I making them better? Do I want to? Do I want it to be something that we do for each other, I guess? So make that the goal. Two, leave hookup culture in the past. Like, there's no condemnation, but if you are currently just randomly hooking up with people, or you're going out with every single person in church, like, stop. Can I just encourage you to stop? Like, you're wasting their time. You're wasting your time. Like, seek first his kingdom, find your real authentic relationship with him, and then get back into the dating world. But leave hookup culture in the past. And three, thrive. Don't just survive your single season. It is fun. It does not have to be an endurance race to marriage. Like, go on dates, be friends with people, have fun, build your relationship with God, figure out your dreams and values and goals and boundaries before the relationship. Enjoy the single season and don't compromise on anything. So those are my top three takeaways.
Okay. And mine are, firstly, know what you value and what is important to you. Second is, put Jesus first in every relationship. And third is, don't let people make you feel guilty for what you stand for, and don't let people cause you to compromise on what is important to you.
Yes, I love that. And guys, that concludes season one. Woo!
Wow.
So fun. But season two, send us any ideas on our Instagram, on our email. It is coming up. We'll probably start it in the new year. But yeah, we're so excited for it. And we can't wait to see you guys again soon. Let us know your thoughts on the podcast, any ideas, recommendations, thoughts, features, anything like that. Let us know. And we look forward to seeing you guys next season.
That's all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and got something out of it. If you liked it, please don't hesitate to give us a little like or a view and subscribe to our weekly uploads.
We'd love to hear from you guys, so feel free to email us at withlovethepodcast@gmail.com or reach out via Instagram @withlovethepod. Thanks for listening, and catch you next Friday for a new episode.